So this is Nick Williams with Art Geyser High Art.
Hey Nick, how are you?
Very good. Looking forward to this conversation. I'm sure this is a conversation many people can relate to. We're talking about resistance, the word resistance. You know, how come is it that so often when we seem to be approaching something great in our life, we hit resistance of some kind? You know, do you notice that or is it just me?
Oh, notice it very, very strongly at times. And at times just a little bit. I'm wondering, Nick, how do you define resistance?
I just kind of explain it. That resistance is our, I call it our ego's response. And it's like a petty response, really, because it's almost like a spiteful response to something magnificent, creative and wonderful stirring inside us. So every time we're moving towards doing something great and showing up in the world in a new way, in a more authentic way, that often, not all the time, I don't want to presuppose it happens all the time, but often when we're moving in the direction of an authentic, happy, successful, creative, purposeful life, we're going to experience a bit of resistance, or a lot of resistance. What would be your definition?
From a more of an NLP perspective, I see there being a couple of kinds of resistance. One is from your own either conscious or unconscious mind. And in NLP, we'd say it's always trying to help. So very often, you know, resistance might be keeping us from an imagined failure or some kind of risk. So we'll tend to look at it as some part of you thinks it's helping. From the energetic perspective, I would say that is true. And sometimes it's just not your thoughts, it's not your programming. It's something that you have been programmed so that the resistance kicks up at it. It's not your authentic beliefs.
It's something you've inherited.
Inherited, exactly, or picked up along the way from as we go through life and are constantly bombarded with programming.
Yeah, no, I like that, about the mind wanting to be helpful.
Right.
Because I think many people will, in my experience, and I've done this too, you know, experience resistance as, yeah, I'd really love to do that, but what if I failed, or if I look stupid, and I couldn't make money out of it, or whatever. So on one hand, it can be very logical, and it doesn't even feel like resistance. It's like we're just being sensible.
Right, right.
So how in your experience, do we recognize the difference between being sensible, in inverted commas, if you like, and actually being in resistance?
Yeah, that's a great question. A technique that I use a lot is I'll imagine like an archery target with a bullseye. And then I imagine asking my own inner wisdom, I go, well, how accurate is this for me? And then I see where the arrow goes.
Oh, wow.
And if it's a bullseye, I go, okay, that's very accurate for me at this point in time. The further it is away from the bullseye, so it's kind of close to the bullseye, but it's not in it, I go, well, there's something here for me, but it's distorted. If it's way off from the bullseye, or something that's not even on the target, then I go, this isn't my truth. This isn't appropriate for me. And that, when I was trying to honor that there's something in it that was intended to help. So let's say somebody got programming, which a lot of people do, that you're not supposed to be more successful than your parents. That somehow you're being more successful than them invalidates their lives. Or just invalidates their lives. And, one way to look at this is to go, well, part of us wants to be accepted by our parents or loved by our parents or be part of the family. And that's not a bad thing. But the way that it's being played out, that it limits us in a way that I think more and more what we're both advocating for people is you don't have to put up with those limits. And that
they're not even your limits.
They're not your limits, and that you can choose, you know, it's a choice. Somebody can choose to go, okay, I'm going to go along with that. And more important to me to be accepted in the way I'm fantasizing it's going to take. I think more and more of us nowadays are going, I'm not going to sacrifice my sense of purpose on the planet because of my parents' limitations. And that's not a criticism of them. It's more of a us going, you know, am I going to commit to living my authentic purpose or not? And I'm not in judgment of people who say no. I think that's a legitimate choice. You can say no to that. What we do is work with people who are saying who want to say yes to that. And then how do you do that in spite of the resistance of the programming?
And I suppose one of my observations over the years, and you know, I wrote a book recently all about resistance, was that I'm not sure too many people are even fully aware of what resistance is. I think one of the ways that it actually has its power is to remain reasonably hidden from our conscious awareness. So part of the reason I wrote the book I wrote was simply to, you know, I called it to illuminate the workings of resistance so that we could look at it and go, oh, I thought it was just me and I didn't realise that was resistance. We think it's a kind of character defect. It's like, you know, I know I spent years kind of beating myself up going, well, I've kind of got a sense of what I know I want to be doing, but I'm not doing it. What's wrong with me?
Right, right.
Do you have that experience or do you work with people that have that experience too?
Well, both. Both. I mean, I've certainly had it and I work with people and, you know, I would say that the arrow is in the bullseye when you say that. That particularly because we don't recognize it, resistance can be like a seven-headed dragon. So resistance can be, I'm just too tired. Or you know, a million logical excuses that come up.
Rationalization, I call that. You know, it's like we come up with brilliant reasons why something would never work.
I remember, and whether people listening, Bill Clinton was president of the United States at one point, and whether you like him or not, you know, the president of the United States is a very busy person. You know, there's more on their plate. You know, sometimes people go, well, they have big staffs. So I'm going, are you kidding? They have everything on their plate. I mean, and I was doing a lot of corporate work at the time, and I kept going, oh, I just don't have time to exercise. I just don't. I'm just too busy. And I'm watching TV, and he at a certain point made a commitment. He would exercise all the time, and you'd see him on the news, you know, jogging and stuff with the Secret Service. And I'm watching him thinking, you know, I'm not busier than the president of the United States. How come he can jog and I can't? And I realize he's making a commitment. And, it was
a priority.
Yeah, and it just really got me to realize I'm resisting exercise. I'm not, if I made it a priority, I would have time. And so it's one of the first times I realized there's something, all my logical stuff isn't what's really going on.
Yeah, and I call that, well, I don't know if you call it, but I call it rationalization. It's like, you know, we use our thinking in reverse to kind of justify what we're not doing or what we are doing rather than thinking through clearly.
A teacher of mine years ago said the main function of your conscious mind is to make up reasons why your unconscious mind got you to do something.
Oh, that's a nice way of putting it,
I think it's really true. And we spend so much energy rationalizing these things. When you have a commitment to do things in spite of the resistance, then things start opening up.
Yeah, your life opens up. Yeah. So resistance is not a character defect.
No.
It's not something you've got to fix, sort out, and whatever before you can start doing your work, whatever your work is. You know, you feel your true work is.
You're breathing, you have resistance.
Yes. Part of the software of being human, you know, part of the way I describe it is, you know, I believe every single human being has the capacity to be amazing and inspiring and creative, and that's all in us already. You know, we can be remarkable. And we have the capacity, it seems almost a greater capacity at times, to undermine ourselves and sabotage ourselves and procrastinate and distract ourselves and keep ourselves unconscious and unaware of what we really want to be doing. So number one, just accept that we all do that. You know, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And I was also laughing because I'm sure some of the people listening going, oh yeah, that old platitude about everybody has greatness. And for those people, I'm saying, no, actually we mean it.
Yeah, no, we really do. And I almost, another definition I have of resistance is our resistance is the conspiracy we have against our own greatness. You know, it's all the ways we conspire to keep ourselves small and afraid and you know, isolated and all the things that we do. So I genuinely do believe that. And I think we share that belief system and presupposition that everybody is a miraculous being in essence. Everybody is incredibly resourceful, loving, creative, talented, amazing. Literally.
Well, and everybody's had the experience, at least with other people, of sometimes maybe an emergency or some kind of unusual situation, somebody that they didn't respect at all comes through in a way that you go like, wow, I didn't know they had it in them. You know, and so we at times at least get glimpses of that in other people, and it's starting to realize it's true for us too. And that we may not have what we think we're supposed to have, you know, when we compare to a particular person. But we all have this amazing, miraculous self inside of us. And if we let that come out, we will shine in some way. And it may not necessarily fit our dramatic pictures of how we're supposed to shine.
But our soul knows how we're here to shine. So first thing is we all do it. Second, don't wait until a resistance-free day to begin.
Yes.
Would be my suggestion. You know, when I got on my personal growth path over 20 years ago, I think after a few years, I thought to myself, you know what, I could probably be in therapy for the rest of my life if I needed to be. And I could come up with lots of reasons why not to start speaking and writing and doing all the things I do today and all that stuff. And I think I had to make a decision somewhere, which is, you know what, I probably will need to keep clearing stuff for the rest of my life, but it doesn't stop me starting doing what I really want to be doing today and tomorrow. Would you concur with that?
Absolutely. That the inspiration comes from being in motion, not the other way around.
Yeah.
And that, unfortunately, a lot of people are waiting to be motivated and waiting to be inspired, when if they get in action, that's what will happen. Alan and Ellie Deaver, who back in the 80s did wonderful research on writing and came up with really wonderful ways for people to write more quickly and better. And they said that when they would study their students' writing, that the only difference when a student wrote when they were feeling inspired versus when they didn't feel inspired at all, so the only difference was whether they enjoyed it or not. That if other people would look at the writing, and the inspired writing wasn't any better. It was just they had more fun doing it, but it wasn't any better. And yet we all have this belief, oh, I have to be inspired, I have to do this. And I think the phenomenal secret here is that people that tend to be successful, they notice the resistance, all that, and they do it anyways.
Yeah, brilliant. And, you know, I think you're right. You know, if my biggest tip about, overcoming resistance is just act in the face of it. And that's not to say that, you know, because you do and I do, it's like teach great processes for clearing the resistance. But don't use that to stop yourself acting on what you know you'd really love to be doing. So here's our next tip to people, is really just act in the face of resistance. You know, I don't know about you, but every significant success that I've had, whether that's writing or speaking or coaching or broadcasting, has been on the other side of some resistance.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I think that's the thing we want to convey to people, is you don't have to overcome your resistance before you do something great. By showing up to do something great, you begin to overcome your resistance.
Yeah, I think if you're not feeling any resistance, then you're playing too small a game. You know, you want to be bumping up against these the program limits, because that will let you go beyond it.
Beautiful,
And we talk to a lot of entertainers and stuff. If you have them interview, a lot of them get incredibly nervous before they dance or act or sing, and they get completely weirded out, and then they go out and do it anyway.
Yeah. Because I also think, you know, one of the ways I've come to look at resistance is, if each of us has, you know, natural gifts and natural talents, our greatest delight is to be in the flow of sharing those, and that resistance aims never to allow us to get into the flow in the first place.
Yeah.
Because once we're in the flow, it's lost its power over us. You know, if you're up speaking, resistance can't kick in because you're up speaking. Mm-hmm. But it could stop you ever taking the stage.
Mm-hmm.
It could stop you ever dancing. It could stop you ever writing. It could stop you ever, you know, being a painter.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you're in the flow of doing those things, it loses its hold. So again, a tip for most people is, like, act in the face of resistance. Begin to get into your flow, and then resistance will begin to let you go.
Well, let it be a gift. It when you channel that to going, okay, let me step this up. Let me, you know, sometimes I'll be doing something and I'll get into resistance, and maybe people won't like this, or maybe it won't be helpful, maybe it won't be clear. If I allow that channel, that gives me the energy to improve it.
Beautiful. Yeah.
You know, and if I accept that, it's like, I know for myself, there's a lot of things, like workshops and stuff, right before I give them, you know, not for every workshop, but particularly if it's something new. Like, I don't know, maybe I haven't thought this out well, and people may not get it, and they might not like it, and all that stuff goes on, and I just channel that into making it better.
Mm-hmm.
Once I start, I know that will go away, you know, and I'll get into the flow of it. But that some of that resistance and weirdness ahead of time, actually, if I let it, it feeds my being better.
Beautiful, yeah. So as we, you know, we both say, I think that, you know, we see resistance as an indicator that you're onto something great.
Exactly.
If there wasn't something great, if there wasn't some real energy, passion, love, inspiration there, there wouldn't even be resistance. There'd just be indifference, wouldn't there?
This woman one time came to one of my workshops, and she came very late, and she apologized and said she had all this trouble getting there. And then she said, I know this is going to be a great workshop, because whenever I have trouble getting to a workshop, it's because my resistance is up. And I know that's because I'm going to make some phenomenal change, which she did.
Breakthrough, which some part of you doesn't want to have.
Exactly, yeah.
Brilliant. So let's just identify a few of the ways that, you know, most of us can recognise resistance. Probably one of the most common and socially acceptable ways is, you know, procrastination. You know, people know what they're going to do or they want to do, but they just don't quite do it. They've always got a reason. I see perfectionism as another form of resistance. You know, you've got to get it perfect before you start, whether that's the perfect business plan or the perfect product or service, whatever it is. So that leads often people into doing, you know, too much planning, and they never implement things. As we've touched on, you know, rationalisation, and often creating like scary futures for ourselves. You know, of like, well, if this happens, you know, I may all turn to rubbish, and you know, I'll fail, or I might get too successful, and I can't cope with it. You know, just create kind of horror stories. So those are some of the major ways I see people going into resistance. Oh, another one I see a lot is being a perpetual student.
Yes, right.
Going on another workshop, reading another book, getting a few more letters after your name, but never actually kind of showing up to do the thing that you really want to be doing.
Yeah, it's all about getting ready.
Getting ready. And I have this lovely expression, I don't know if you can relate to it, but it's almost like, you know, I use the analogy of our ego and our spirit, that our ego is never ready for what our spirit and soul are always ready to do.
Oh, I like that. That's great.
So be aware that there's a part of you that's always ready.
I love that. And yeah, it fits in with this whole concept of perfectionism. And I remember when I had never heard the term many years ago, and I was really stuck in my life. And I think it was like a Psychology Today magazine or something. They actually showed an archery target in an arrow doing a bullseye. And I don't remember what the real name of it was, but I remember it as something like The Horrors of Perfectionism. I'm sure it was not that. And when I read that, I immediately got what that must be, and I went, oh my God, that's what's going on.
So you suddenly became aware of it. Again, part of my experience personally and professionally is that awareness has to be accompanied by often some great self-compassion. Because sometimes as we become more aware of how we've resisted, we can use it just to be pretty tough on ourselves and
unkind
to ourselves. Yeah. But, you know, often I've gone, oh, God, you know, I thought I was a little bit messed up. Now I see how really messed up I am, and, you know, just use it as a way of beating myself up more.
Yeah, so, the resistance sort of co-ops it and starts using it.
You know, so, you know, again, for anyone listening to this, you know, the more aware you become of your resistance, don't use it as a way of going, oh, God, I'm even more messed up than I thought I was. It's like, oh, good information. You know, this has been running me. I just haven't been aware of it. Now I'm becoming more aware of it, and now I can begin to clear it.
Yeah, and this is a normal, and lots, if not most, people go through it, and almost all successful people go through it.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah. So I actually think resistance, kind of busting, or whatever word we would use, resistance, you know, moving beyond resistance, is actually a skill that all of us need to learn if we're going to live a more creative and meaningful and happy and abundant life. It's like, yeah, we've really got to learn the skills of overcoming our resistance.
I think that's absolutely true. You either have to keep yourself in a little box or find ways to heal or evolve or go forward through resistance.
So are you able to lead people through a little kind of process, one of your energetic NLP processes to begin to clear, even perhaps resistance they can't even put a name to, but they just know that there's an inertia there or there's a repelling force. Can you lead people through a little exercise so that they can begin
to clear
some of that?
For a couple of things for people to understand, you don't consciously need to know what it is. A lot of good came out of the whole psychoanalytical movement, but the thing that came out of it that still became programming in society is that if I understand that, I must understand something to heal it or change it, and it's absolutely not true. Sometimes that's a good path. Often that understanding just gets people in a loop around it. So in this process, I'm going to ask people to let go of that having to happen. If they spontaneously get an understanding, it's like, great, it's just not necessary. It's kind of like the cherry on top of the cake. It's like, yeah, that'd be nice, but the cake will be good without the cherry. And sometimes if you're looking for the cherry too much, you're never going to get to the cake. So on the inner level, you do know what your resistances are. You can figure it out. Your inner wisdom, your spirit, that really miraculous part of you can figure all that out. So let's ask people to take a moment to sort of trust in that inner process. A second principle is your inner wisdom and spirit won't let you let go of anything that you need still need for some reason. So sometimes people get afraid where they go, if I just start letting go of things I don't know what they are, what if they're helpful in some way? Well, your inner wisdom spirit have got that figured out. And if there's something that you need to learn or a decision you need to make or something like that, they won't. Your inner wisdom and spirit won't let you just let go of it. Now, how you deal with that, it would be another conversation. But I want people to realize right now, if they turn this over to their inner wisdom and spirit, they will let go of things, and they will not let go of anything that they shouldn't.
Hmm. So it cannot be a harmful process.
No, it can only help, and it can help amazingly. Hmm. And it just remember that you know, our inner self keeps us safe all the time. It's always monitoring things. So that's going on. It doesn't need your conscious mind trying to figure that out. As you've heard me say, I'm a big fan of the conscious mind. It just has its limitations. So what I would suggest to everybody listening is a couple things. One is, if you want to let go of your resistance, it helps to have the absolute intention that that's what you want. So the first step is just in your mind, go, I want to let go of resistance. I want to heal resistance, you know, whatever language they want to use. So I'm going to ask people, take a second right now, and if that's what they want, declare it inside of themselves. Now, what some of the people listening will notice is they may get an argument on that, because resistance protects itself. It's a lot like a computer virus, in that a lot of computer viruses protect themselves. Like, I've had computer viruses turn off my virus checker. Hmm. You know, some of them are rather clever. And in the same way, resistances will, if you say, I'm going to clear resistance, you'll get resistance to that. Hmm. So that's fine. And just realize, if people are getting images or words in their head that are arguing with their right to let go of resistance, you don't have to do anything about that. You don't suppress it, but you don't feed it either. You just kind of go, thank you for sharing, you know, and not so much ignore it, but just kind of go, I heard you, and I get to choose my life. So again, I want people to, in their mind again, go, I want to let go of more and more resistance that holds me back, period. And if you get any arguments or anything, just let them be. And then the next step, and this is similar but it's different, is inside of yourself go, I have a right, again, as a conscious being and as a spiritual being, to make choices in my life, and give 100% permission to start healing these resistances and like letting go of them. So like everybody listening, just if this is what you want, just go, I'm giving 100% permission for this to actually happen right now. And again, if there's any arguments, just go, I heard you, and I'm giving 100% permission. An easy way to do this is just to use words as symbols. So I'd like to suggest they imagine the word resistance up on the screen. Imagine that from the heart of the earth, a tube of energy comes into that word and starts draining the energy off of it. And then people might see it kind of melting or fading away. Sometimes people see it going from colors to gray, or they see gray disappearing into the earth. So just imagine right now that the earth has the ability to pull apart that resistance, because it's not authentically yours. And let the earth just remove other people's energy and programming and beliefs. And then once people do that, put up the word resistance again and just keep repeating that. Or some people might have related to that word perfectionism. Put that up. Or if thoughts come up like, I'm not smart enough or capable, or I always goof up, or things never work for me. Put those words up and just keep imagining the earth just drains the energy out of them. And so they can keep repeating that process. And it doesn't have to happen all at once. Just whatever happens easily in this moment. It takes a minute. And then imagine when that's done, that as you've released that programming, there's more space now for your inner wisdom and spirit to be present in your personality and your life. So I'd like people to imagine that as they're clearing, their inner self, their wisdom, their spirit is now filling up that psychological space and replacing the programming with your true inner wisdom and your true beliefs. And again, you don't need to know what that is consciously. It can just happen. And then that's it. And if people did that for a few minutes a day and did that, depending on the person, some people doing it once would do it. Other people might need to do it for a week or 2 weeks or a month. But if they just took a couple of minutes every day and did that, the nature and quality of their resistance would just radically change. We're creative beings, and new resistances may come up, but each time you get further. It's if you think of an athlete, as they get more and more skilled, they may run into new problems, but they're still way more skilled, and as they work with those problems, they get more skilled again, and they just keep moving up the mountain of skill, if you will.
So you expand your creative awareness or skills or talents, and you keep expanding, and then you hit a new limit, and then you can just dissolve the resistance to that.
Exactly.
To that new limit.
And what we don't want is for people to get perfectionistic and going, but I still have resistance. I did this for 2 weeks. You may have resistance forever, but it will change, and its ability to hold you back will get weaker and weaker. And I go along with the whole onion theory that, you know, you get layers and layers of things, but each layer that you remove, you get more successful, you get happier, and then you remove another layer. Sometimes people go, when am I going to be done with it? And I go, well, what else do you have to do this lifetime is to keep growing and changing. And when they'll know that they've really got it is when they hit a resistance and they go, oh, good. Because when I clear this, things move up to the next level.
My life's going to go even better. New. If you could begin to see every bit of resistance as an indicator of a new talent or a new gift or a new way of being or a new level of happiness or abundance and success, that would motivate you to clear the resistance, wouldn't it?
Well, exactly. And then it's not a bad thing. It's more like a, ooh, you know.
Great. Clear this one. What's on the other side of this?
I'm really up to something.
Yeah.
Because I know for me, there are times when we want to rest and plateau. But then when I get in too comfortable with all that, I know like, okay, it's ready to take my next step. And then stuff will come up around it. And then you just keep doing the same things.
Brilliant. So anything else in that process, or is that the complete process?
There's always other things you can do, but that's a very tangible, easy thing for people to do that's very powerful and effective. And I do highly recommend that people read your book, Resisting Your Soul, because I think that helps give them a cognitive basis and will help them activate. And as they read things, their own inner wisdom will resonate with parts of it, and that will help grow that and help them identify like typical patterns.
Thank you very much.
Well, and that's something, you read a book years ago, right? And that's what helped you start noticing resistance.
Having a name for something that I'd experienced but didn't really have a name for, something that I'd really just thought I was crap at. And then suddenly realized, no, I'm not crap, I'm just in resistance. And it was a book called The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield.
I've read it. Great.
Amazing book. So it helped me. It's like one of those aha moments when I went, so I've just been in resistance. And it was like, the prison doors began to open to a new level. It wasn't like I was totally stuck, but it was like, I'd reached a plateau, and then suddenly the blinkers began to fall away from my own eyes to think, where I've got to is just, a fraction up the mountain. There's so much more excitement to happen,
Well, it's similar for me when I read about perfectionism that first time. I didn't know what to do about it, but the fact that I could go, that's what it is, so there's some way to deal with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, that makes sense of everything. Now I just need to learn how to deal with it. Mm. And that took me a little while, but when I did, then everything opened up.
Okay, well, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation. I hope Art's process and our insights have helped you understand and empower you to recognize what resistance is and the joys of overcoming it, literally the joys of overcoming it, because there's so much juiciness and wonderful stuff on the other side of our resistance. How do people find out more about your work, Art?
You can go to my website, which is energeticnlp.com. And probably easier to remember is the letter E, and the letter's NLP. So ENLP and the number 7 for lucky7.com.
Okay.
On my website, they can get access to some guided audios and videos that will take them through some other processes they can also use to help them with resistance.
You can find all my work and lots of wonderful free bits of information and programs at inspired-art.com. inspiredentrepreneur.com, inspired-entrepreneur.com.
Yeah, and I want people to know, I think there's a lot of wonderful things on your site, so I highly, highly recommend it. I know I'm getting a lot of benefit out of it.
Thank you very much indeed. Well, great having this conversation with you, and hope it's really helped you listen. Thanks very much.
Bye.